T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's get right to it. Hey, look, you listen long enough to me, you understand one thing. I'm not loyal to a party, a political party. I'm loyal to an idea. I'm loyal to a movement. I'm loyal to a notion. Let's fix this. Let's point out this ridiculousness. Let's make a change here. Let's create change. So as a result, I don't pile on with Democrats. I don't pile on with Republicans. You've heard me go after the mayor, the governor, you've heard it. You've heard me go after Trump. You've heard it. You've heard it. It's just the way I am. It's just the way I roll. We pick a side based on how we can make a difference. And there are a handful, and I mean a small handful, of political leaders in my life. And I'm serious about this, and I'm an old guy. I've been at this more than 30 years, that I could call and we would fight together to make a difference. Forget politics, forget party. Seriously, changing laws, saving lives, protecting folks. And that person has always been one of the few people I could always count on, Kim Ward. Seriously. State Senator Kim Ward. It had been a pleasure to work with her over the years and raise hell with her. She's a blast to be around, and she kicks ass, and I'm cool with that. We could have been from the same family, quite frankly, and always answers the call. So when she rose to power as arguably the most powerful woman in the state and one of the most powerful people in the state other than the governor, and in some arguments could be more powerful than the governor, I wasn't surprised. And she joins me live this morning. Senator, how are you this morning? Senator, how are you? Kim. We lost her. After that introduction. Call me back, Senator. She will call me back. I lost her. I don't know what happened. She was sitting there on home. She's in Harrisburg. She has fought harder than anyone I know. Anyone I know. All right, there she goes. We're going to grab Kim Ward. Senator, good morning.
Hey, I'm back.
How are you?
What happened?
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. We go way, way back. We kind of think alike in terms of fighting to make a difference. I never heard you mention a political affiliation with any of the battles we've taken up together, right? I mean, you just fight.
Right, because they're about people. It's not about, you know, your political affiliation. It's about people and doing what we need to do for the people that we represent here in Pennsylvania.
Have you found it, because I have found it very frustrating working with certain politicians, and I'm going to be honest with you. The governor will not come on this show. He does not like me. And I don't take it personally. It's just he doesn't. And I find it to be a detriment to the audience, not to Marty Griffin, because there are a lot of folks that say I don't like that SOB, but that's cool. But my point is, you've had difficulty working with him. What is it about certain political leaders that they just put up walls? And is it frustrating for you?
Well, sometimes it's frustrating. You know, we have tried through this pandemic to work closely with the governor. It's been quite frustrating. as legislators, we hear every day from the people we represent, we're closest to the ground here. And, you know, as it turns out, these state of emergencies, when a governor, any governor, not this governor, because this governor is a nice man. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Very nice.
He is. He is. But any governor, when they call these state of emergencies, they consolidate their power. They have unilateral power. They don't need us to do anything that they do what they want to do. And then they are the only people that can end a state of emergency. So that is a problem when one person calls it, consolidates all of their power, all of the power, can spend money, can go over, can do mandates, can override laws, and they're the only person that can end it. And that's a problem. To me, that is anyway, and I think it probably is to most Pennsylvanians. So, you know, we have these amendments on the ballot, a couple amendments, we're letting the people have a voice in whether or not they would like more involvement instead of just more involvement by the people that represent them instead of just one body of government. So we can get back our balance of power. And, you know, the amendment verbiage is just so misleading. The Department of State wrote it. The Kathy Buchbar, who was forced to resign, wrote that. And it was a mess. So, you know, we're just doing what we do. I do think that, you know, I want you to take 2 points and then we can move on. But
right, of course.
Just because this amendment passes does not mean that the state of emergency is over. It does not mean we lose funding. It just means that we get a seat at the table and we get to help with things like the vaccine distribution, the nursing home issue that happened was horrible, the businesses that close and businesses that are open. So it just means we get to get some input with the governor, and maybe he'll pay attention to us.
The amendment would ostensibly, if it carries, would ostensibly end his right to be able to just keep us in this constant state of emergency.
And it would end his right to unilaterally do whatever he wants to do. So we you know, that's all this amendment does is just give the legislature a seat at the table to talk with the governor, and maybe he'll listen to us.
And Democrats would argue that it gives special interests control in emergencies. What do you say?
I have no idea what special interest that would be unless we're talking about the people that we represent. There's no special interest in this. This is just about government representation and a balance of power.
Rather than somebody saying, we're all shutting down today, this is where we're spending our money today, this is what we're doing today, and continuing on for more than a year, right? Unilateral power.
Yeah. Unilateral power.
Essentially ending what Dr. Kevin Wong, your old friend, describes as a dictatorship.
It is, I'm not going to call it that, but I will say that there are 48 states that are trying to address the issue because nobody saw this coming, because the last time there was a state of emergency for something other than a weather or a fire was in 1955 with the syphilis. So, I mean, that was even before I was born, just barely. Until you actually experience something, and I think that's happened all over the country. So 48 states trying to fix this, I think that means that there probably is an issue that needs to be fixed.
All right, hang in there for me a few minutes, okay?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
When we come back, very, very important issue regarding her personally, her health, and something that concerns me and we've talked about for a while and she wants to talk to you about. My battle with cancer has been very public. And I'll tell you why. Because my cancer was caused by a virus, actually, HPV related. There's a vaccine for that. And we pushed and pushed and pushed. And in the process of me telling my story about chemo, radiation, and the things that have changed my life forever, thousands of folks have been vaccinated with the HPV vaccine. And there are 50,000 cases a year. And that's why I made it public. And I think it's relevant to this conversation because Senate Majority Leader Kim Ward is facing a health battle. First of all, how are you feeling, Senator?
I'm good. I'm good. As you know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer the first week in December, and I appreciate you not telling anybody, Marty, till I was ready.
sure.
But I'm happy to start the conversation here in southwestern Pennsylvania in my home. So, and we will use the position that I'm in to try to advance things that we can do better in the healthcare system with the insurance industry. So I was diagnosed in December, stage one, no lymph node involvement. But I had some great doctors, and I started down at with Dr. Emmons, and even though the mass was very small, she ordered a more comprehensive test, and it showed a greater chance of recurrence. So I went from Dr. Emmons, I went to Dr. Evans out in Greensburg, who we did four treatments of chemo. I'm done. I've been done for 5 weeks. I never missed a meeting. I never missed anything. I was so blessed. I thank God every day I didn't get sick. And so I had a lumpectomy, and then Dr. Evans ordered a BRCA test at my old age, and it came back positive that I have that gene. So now we are where we thought we were finished. We're going to have a few more surgeries, and I've been spending a lot of time down at McGee with various breast specialist surgeons. And I Dr. Bucci in Latrobe did a terrific job for me on the things that I needed done, but it's now time to just, with this gene, just go where they're the specialists for just breast at this point. So we've been good. I've tried to keep it a little bit quiet, as you know, Marty.
Yes.
Because I had to do that when I was ready, and I didn't want to be statewide news right after I won majority leader with all that statewide news. It was literally 2 weeks later. I thought, oh, I can't emotionally handle that. So here we are. We're doing fine.
You might have to have this very, very major surgery, though. Let's be honest.
Sure. I'm going to get a mastectomy and, you know, reconstruction. I'm also going to be doing my ovaries, because when you have that gene, you have a greater chance of getting some of these cancers. So I'm going to do that. And I was so glad, actually. At first I was upset about the gene, but then I felt good, because at least I'm like, well, at least this makes sense. And now my kids will know, my nieces will know, my granddaughters will know that it's there and they can be tested and treated. So it's just going to be a lot more surveillance. I get to do probably fun things like have a colonoscopy every 5 years instead of every 10.
What's your message? What's your message, Senator?
Well, okay, so you have my mammogram. I went every year on time since I was 36, because my breasts are very fibrous, and I had 3D mammograms. But COVID last year, the beginning of March, we stopped doing those, and I was due. I was due right there at the end of February, and so I didn't get it. And, you know, I don't know if it would have changed much, maybe just made it even a little bit smaller, but I will tell people to go and get those 3D mammograms. And if you have fibrous breasts, you are entitled to an ultrasound. You are your insurance. We passed the law in 2013. If your doctor doesn't offer and you are nervous, you need to ask. Because I think this was probably in there for a few years. I always just thought, well, if they need it, they'll tell me. But that's not how it works. So you are responsible for your health care. I mean, you have to take control of this. So that's my message, is to be vigilant. If you think you can't pay for something, you need to call your hospital or call your clinic, because there are ways to pay for things. But it is really important. 1 in 10, depending on the article you read, 1 in 10 or 1 in 12 women, out of 100, I mean, 10 out of 100 or 12 out of 100 women get breast cancer every year. It's common. My breast cancer is estrogen positive. It's ductal carcinoma. It's what 70% of the breast cancers are. But a lot of people, a lot of women get this. So you need to be very vigilant and think about yourself. Think about when you go for that mammogram, or if you can't afford it, you thought there are ways to help you afford that. That if you're not comfortable, you ask for further testing. Your insurance is required to pay for that. I'm sure I'm going to get blasted by all the insurance.
No, I love it. This is why I love you. You're a fighter, and you tell the truth. I got to ask you before you go, and you know we've been talking about this forever. There are attorneys who represent victims of a sexual abuse inside the church who say you personally are sitting on this look-back bill that would pass if you would just let it go for a vote. Is that accurate? Are you sitting on the bill?
No. What we're doing is, so Marty, it's so complicated, and I did talk to one of the victims last night about it. So if we open... We are making sure we are looking for and talking to constitutional attorneys to make sure it's constitutional. And the reason that's important is if you open that window, it goes against the remedies clause of our Constitution with the statute of limitations, right?
Right.
It runs out.
Right.
If you open that window, this is not just in a bubble. You could open the window for everything. Everything that ever happened, there's a 2-year window, because the Constitution doesn't say just for this terrible, horrendous, emotional issue. It's horrible. I can't even give you words to talk about how bad it is. But we need to make sure that we uphold what we're sworn to do, and that we don't do something downstream that is going to just open floodgates to lawsuits on everything and anything that's happened in the past.
I get it.
So we are looking, we are searching, we are working with people. We just need to make sure that we do this. But we did do the constitutional amendment again.
And you support this sort of protection for abuse victims. You do.
Sure. We did the constitutional amendment again.
Yep.
As I mentioned, Kathy Buchbar before, that's why she stepped down, because
that's right.
She failed.
She screwed it up. Big time.
Tell the public.
Big time.
The other thing, Marty, can I just talk one more minute about one more thing?
Of course.
And then I have to go, and you know that. After I told you I couldn't stay on.
Sorry.
We can't have two classes of victims. That's the other thing. You can't have victims that were abused by in the public sector, schools or what have you, be limited, and anybody in the private sector, you know, it's a free-for-all. Victims are victims, and they all deserve the same treatment. They all deserve to be protected. And we are working toward that. And there was a lot,
lot more
abuse that goes on in your public entities.
Kim Ward, thank you. You were the best. Good luck. Stay in
touch.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.